The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from various medical sources. The People's Pharmacy, Joe and Teresa Graydon, King Features. Chewing sugar-free gum to stay awake. Question. A reader recently suggested eating sunflower seeds to stay awake while driving. I, too, have looked for an antidote to feeling drowsy while driving. I thought eating something small would help. I didn't want to take in any more calories than I had to. It occurred to me that maybe the act of chewing would work just as well as actually eating something. So I tried sugar-free gum. It worked like a charm. Whatever the reason, gum almost always keeps that drowsy feeling away, so I keep several packs of gum in the car at all times. Answer. Thank you for offering an alternative to sunflower seeds. According to a review of the medical literature, many of the studies indicated that chewing exerts a positive effect on attention, and especially on sustained attention, in addition to improved mood and stress relief. And that's cited in Biomed Research International online, May 17, 2015. We remind those who are not accustomed to chewing gum with sorbitol or mannitol that such sugar substitutes can cause diarrhea if you consume too much of them. Question. My doctor determined by my blood test that my thyroid levels remain stable only when I take the original drug Synthroid. Whenever I go to a new pharmacy, they always say that the only thyroid drug they can get is generic levothyroxine. They always say Synthroid can be special ordered, but it will take time to get it. It is always a lot more expensive than the generic pill and not covered by my insurance. Why do they make it so hard to get the drug I need? Also, why do they charge so much for it? Answer. Synthroid is a long-standing brand name version of levothyroxine. You are right that it is more expensive than the generic medication. Synthroid runs between $45 and $67 for 30 pills. The generic version costs between $12 and $16 for the same 30 tablets. That's why many insurance companies only want to pay for generic levothyroxine. We discovered that brand name Synthroid is substantially less expensive from Canada. A 3-month supply costs between $25 and $60, less than a 30-day bottle from the U.S. You can learn more about reputable Canadian online drugstores in our e-guide to saving money on medicines. It's available at www.peoplespharmacy.com. Look for health guides. Statins, muscle cramps lead to yellow mustard. Question. My doctor prescribed a statin to lower my cholesterol. Then I began suffering horrendous cramps in my ankles, toes, and calves. Later I heard on your radio show that statins can cause muscle cramps. I checked with my doctor and stopped taking the statin. Miraculously, my cramps subsided to almost nothing. During the same radio show, I heard that mustard alleviates cramps within a few minutes. Lo and behold, the next time I got a cramp, I swallowed some mustard. I do not know what I would do without this unbelievable home remedy. I keep a bottle of yellow mustard in my medicine cabinet. Answer. What you experienced has a name, SAMS, S-A-M-S, or statin-associated muscle symptoms. They include muscle pain, muscle weakness, muscle cramps, and muscle tiredness. A recent meta-analysis of 12 randomized controlled trials found that coenzyme Q10, CoQ10 supplements, eased SAMS better than placebo. That's cited in the Journal of the American Heart Association, October 2, 2018. You are not the first person to report that a spoonful of yellow mustard can relieve muscle cramps quickly. We suspect that this remedy works by stimulating sensory nerves in the mouth, throat, and stomach. This in turn overrides the hyperactive neuronal stimulation causing the cramp. Question, is there a remedy for herpes 1 outbreaks on the lips? Answer, herpes simplex virus 1, HSV-1, is the cause of cold sores. Antiviral medications such as acyclovir, famciclovir, or valacyclovir can speed healing. A more natural approach involves L-lysine supplements or a topical application of the herb lemon balm, Melissa officinalis. In vitro or test tube research demonstrated that lemon balm extract interferes with HSV-1 infecting host cells. Cited in phytotherapy research, October 2014, you might find a cream or ointment containing lemon balm would help cold sores heal faster. Question. I took a class from Dr. Lodog and learned her recipe for thyme cough medicine. It consists of water, thyme, lemon, and a natural sweetener. 1 cup of boiling water, 2 to 4 tablespoons of fresh thyme or 2 tablespoons of dried thyme, 1 teaspoon of lemon, and 1/4 cup of honey or maple syrup. Answer, thank you for sharing this. Dr. Tirana Lodog gave us a similar recipe that we included in our book, Quick and Handy Home Remedies. From the Costco Connection, that's it. I quit. It's time to stop smoking. No ifs, ands, or buts. B-U-T-T-S. And that's from Joseph Hanna, Bachelor of Science of Pharmacy. And he's the director of Costco Pharmacy in Canada. Whether you are an occasional or a 2-packs-a-day smoker, it can be difficult to kick the habit. That's because tobacco products contain nicotine, a highly addictive drug that temporarily makes you feel good and relaxed. Learning about the positive effects of quitting smoking and taking the right approach can be one step toward healthy living. Benefits of quitting. The benefits come much faster than you might think. Within 24 hours, your risk for a heart attack starts to drop. After a few days, your sense of taste and smell will improve. After a few short weeks, your ability to do regular activities and exercise will improve. Just 1 year after quitting, your risk of getting heart disease will be reduced by 50%. Over the next decade, your risk of dying from many types of cancers will be much lower. 15 years after quitting, the risk of heart disease is about the same as for a non-smoker. Your quitting program. Several therapies can improve your odds of succeeding. One popular option is nicotine replacement therapy, which is available without a prescription and comes in a variety of forms, including gum, lozenges, inhalers, and patches. When used correctly, these products can double your chances of quitting for good. They work because they reduce withdrawal symptoms by providing your body with a small amount of nicotine, but none of the harmful chemicals found in tobacco. 2 types of prescription medications can also help reduce your cravings and allow you to taper down on the number of cigarettes you smoke. While medications help with the withdrawal symptoms, often leading to success in quitting, you also have to find ways to change the behavior associated with smoking. This is where cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, can help. In combination with medicines, cognitive behavioral therapy can further help improve your odds of quitting by helping you rewire your brain and by teaching you new coping strategies after breaking the bad habit. When you need help quitting, among adult cigarette smokers in the U.S., nearly 7 out of 10 reported they wanted to quit smoking, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But smokers often fail when they use the cold turkey method. Used as directed, nicotine replacement therapy such as nicotine gum or lozenges can double a cigarette smoker's chances of successfully quitting, according to the CDC. Over-the-counter smoking cessation products include lozenges and gums, Nicorette, Nicoderm patches. The more you know about the quitting process and your options for additional support, the better your chances for success. Feel free to speak to your pharmacist if you have any questions on medications to help you quit smoking. From the Harvard Health Letter, use free services to stay independent. Nonprofit groups offer services that can help you age in place. The holidays are a time of giving, but they're also a time to put yourself on the receiving list and assess whether you should be taking advantage of free health-related services offered by nonprofit organizations. Services are widely available, often regardless of income, but you might not know they exist. Most older adults aren't introduced to support services until they're hospitalized or they work with a case manager or social worker, explains Barbara Moskowitz, a geriatric social worker at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. You don't have to wait for such an event. What's available? On the local level, you can often find free or low-cost dental clinics, emotional support groups, meal or grocery delivery services, transportation, in-home health evaluations, exercise classes, health education classes, home evaluations for fall prevention, companion programs, caregiver respite services, or programs to help you navigate difficult chronic health conditions and their treatment. On the state or national level, there are nonprofits that provide older adults with free or low-cost prescription medications, hearing aids, and gently used home medical equipment. Help that makes a difference. Using nonprofit services can help you stay healthy and independent or cope with chronic disease. For example, Shepherd's Centers of America is a network of nonprofit senior centers across the country. They offer free rides to homebound older adults. If you can't get out of the house, you're not socializing, going to the grocery store or doctor appointments, or staying healthy, says Michelle Scott, director of Oakton, Vienna, Virginia affiliate. Meals on Wheels delivers nutritious meals to older adults. In addition, some communities, such as La Jolla, California, the group also sends vetted volunteers to older adults' homes each week for free, providing social contact that's crucial to warding off isolation and maintaining health. Neuro Challenge Foundation for Parkinson's in Sarasota, Florida, helps people figure out which steps to take after a Parkinson's disease diagnosis. Many people don't know where to turn. We match them with resources that suit their individual needs, whether it's exercise, therapeutic or emotional support, or education, says Robin Fossey Washington, the group's executive director. Where to find services? Sometimes the hardest part about accessing services is finding those that are right for you. Start by asking for referrals at your doctor's office, local senior centers, your region's Area Agency on Aging, AAA, part of a network of more than 600 agencies that receive federal funding to coordinate older adult support services and provide referrals to them. Your county or state government can connect you to your AAA, or you can check the national website at www.n4a.org. Or use the federal government's elder care locator, which is www.eldercare.acl.gov. Accessing services. Services may be free or offered at a low cost based on your income. Don't assume you are ineligible. This keeps many people from accessing services, notes Moskowitz. And many people are uncomfortable asking for help, she says. Get the ball rolling with a phone call, talk to an agency yourself, or have a loved one call on your behalf. You may need to visit a nonprofit group for an assessment, or a representative may come to you. But make the effort. It will be worth it when the services improve your health and quality of life. What's causing that belly bloat? Underlying causes plus food and sensory responses can lead to distension and discomfort. You just finished a meal, but the meal isn't quite finished with you. It's causing an uncomfortable bloated feeling and the perception that you suddenly have a big belly that lasts for hours. And it's not just your imagination. Very quickly, it can make you look like you have a bit of a pooch. There's an enlargement of the abdomen and a sensation of distension, explains Dr. Kyle Stoller, a gastroenterologist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. But the cause of belly bloat is often hard to pin down. A symptom of conditions. In some cases, bloating is a symptom of an underlying condition. For example, any of these disorders can cause bloating. Irritable bowel syndrome, a condition characterized by a combination of symptoms, bloating, cramping, abdominal pain, diarrhea, or constipation, that lasts for 3 or more months. Inflammatory bowel disease, an inflammation of the lining of the gastrointestinal tract, including Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Celiac disease, which is an autoimmune disease in which the immune system attacks the small intestine. It's triggered by a protein called gluten that's found in wheat, barley, and rye. Constipation, a condition defined by fewer than 3 bowel movements per week, hard or dry stools, the need to strain and move the bowels, and a sense of incomplete evacuation. If you're not emptying your gut, there's no room in your abdomen, and you'll have excess bloating, Dr. Stoller says. Gastroparesis, a sluggish emptying of food from the stomach into the small intestine, and cancer. Colon, ovarian, stomach, and pancreatic cancer are among the cancers that can have bloating as a symptom. A reaction to diet. Sometimes bloating results when your body has a hard time digesting sugars in certain foods. The key culprits are in a group known as FODMAPs. That's F-O-D-M-A-P-S. Fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. Examples include wheat, rye, onions, garlic, legumes such as chickpeas, lentils, beans, honey, pistachios, cashews, asparagus, and artichokes. Foods or drinks with fructose or artificial sweeteners are also on the FODMAP list. We all have an increased amount of gas in the body after eating them, but some of us react to them more severely than others, Dr. Stoller says. If that's the case, it helps to identify which of these foods you react to and avoid them. Milk and dairy foods are also considered FODMAPs. They contain a type of sugar called lactose, which is hard to digest if you don't have enough of the enzyme that breaks it down, lactase. The result, gastrointestinal distress that includes bloating and overgrowth of bacteria. One possible cause of bloating is controversial. It's called small intestine bacterial overgrowth, or SIBO. The idea is that bad bacteria in the small intestine are growing out of control, eating your food, and producing additional gas. The theory is that by wiping out those bacteria, you can sometimes treat those people's bloating. But often the SIBO comes roaring back, and if you're treated with multiple courses of antibiotics, that might be dangerous, Dr. Stoller says. Why is it controversial? Because we don't have a lot of evidence about it. We still have a lot to learn about it, and testing, a breath test, isn't reliable. Antibiotics do resolve bloating in some people, he notes, but he is hesitant to make a diagnosis of SIBO. A misperception of gas. Dr. Stoller says most bloaters are actually struggling with a more abstract cause, the body's perception of gas and overreaction to it. This is a newer approach to coping with belly bloat. Increasing evidence suggests that the majority of people with bloating have an abnormal response to a normal amount of gas, Dr. Stoller says. The response is triggered by an extremely sensitive nervous system, a problem called visceral hypersensitivity. When the nerves in the gut overreact to gas, your level of discomfort increases. Normally, if you eat something that causes gas, the abdominal wall tightens and the diaphragm, which divides the chest and abdomen, rises into the chest so the contents of the gut can spread out more, Dr. Stoller explains. But the data suggests that bloaters do the opposite. Their diaphragm pushes down and the abdomen bulges out. Visceral hypersensitivity is also linked to other conditions, including irritable bowel syndrome. banishing bloat. It can take time to figure out what's causing bloating. Dr. Stoller says the first step is to investigate the more tangible causes. If we suspect bloating is caused by constipation or irritable bowel syndrome, for example, we'll treat those. If there's no underlying cause, we'll look at the diet, Dr. Stoller says. If lactose intolerance is a possibility, he'll suggest a dairy-free diet. If FODMAPs seem to be the trouble, he'll put patients on a low FODMAP diet and then reintroduce certain foods to see if they cause bloating. For sure, there are some people whose bloating goes away when you fix the underlying condition or diet, but in many cases, the bloating will remain. That's when we think of bloating as a sensory issue, Dr. Stoller notes. He says low doses of medications called neuromodulators, which change the way nerves react, can help reduce bloating. Examples include tricyclic antidepressants like amitriptyline or Elavil. And sometimes treating belly bloat requires a multifaceted approach. It's often a case of using traditional approaches in combination with the newer approach of thinking of bloating as a sensory issue, Dr. Stoller says. Your primary care physician or a gastroenterologist can help you resolve belly bloat. It may require some trial and error, but Dr. Stoller says in time, you'll be able to finish a meal without feeling uncomfortable. A warning about sudden bloating. Sometimes bloating can come on suddenly when you get older. Most people who have bloating start experiencing it at a young age, but if someone is suddenly having bloating at older age, that's sometimes a red flag that tells me something has changed and needs to be investigated, says Dr. Stoller. What causes sudden bloating could be an inflammatory bowel condition, constipation, lactose intolerance, celiac disease, or in rare cases, cancer. If sudden bloating lasts more than a few days, report the symptom to your primary care physician or contact your gastroenterologist. A French study published August 21, 2018 in the Journal of the American Medical Association suggests that the more steps you take to boost your heart health, the lower your risk for developing dementia. Researchers evaluated health and lifestyle data for more than 6,000 men free of dementia and heart disease men in their 70s to see how they were doing when it came to following 7 steps recommended by the American Heart Association. Not smoking, controlling weight, getting regular physical activity, eating a healthy diet that included fish twice a week or more, and fruits and vegetables at least 3 times per day, and maintaining healthy blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood sugar levels. Researchers also conducted psychological testing on participants at various times. After 8 years, it appeared that men who followed 5 to 7 of the healthy habits had the least risk, 8%, for developing dementia during the study. Compared with men who followed 2 or more fewer habits, they had a 13% risk. The study was observational and doesn't prove that following heart healthy habits will lower your dementia risk, but many other studies have made similar connections. The takeaway, it's not too late to try to prevent dementia. Inspiring healthy eating. Tools that will encourage recipients to prepare and enjoy fresh, healthy meals and treats. You know what they say about gifts. It's the thought that counts, and why not focus that thought on a healthy diet? Inspire healthy eating with gadgets that are affordable and easy to use. Keep the recipient's dietary needs, dexterity, and physical ability in mind as you shop. Here are some fun ideas to get you started. A stem stripper, STM. About $5 is a flat utensil with a number of stem-sized holes in it. It strips leaves from stems in seconds. You simply insert the stem of the leafy vegetable or herb, like kale, Swiss chard, or rosemary, into the hole that matches the stem's diameter. Pull the stem through the hole and the leaves fall away. Then toss the remaining stem. This might be helpful if you have trouble chewing, if you wear dentures, or if you find vegetables or herbs are hard to chop or pull apart. A mezzaluna, M-E-Z-Z-A-L-U-N-A, knife, $5 to $40, makes chopping mounds of vegetables quick and easy. The knife has a curved stainless steel blade with vertical handles on either end. To use it, rock the blade back and forth, and this would be a good tool if you have trouble chopping. A zester, Z-E-S-T-E-R, $15. Looks like a flat, skinny cheese grater with a handle. The grater has razor-sharp teeth that turn the rind of citrus fruits into fine particles. As we get older, our taste buds are dulled a little. Adding citrus zest during preparation or as a garnish gives meals a nice zip. Adaptive eating utensils like forks, knives, and spoons make it easier to get food to your mouth, which can otherwise be a challenge for people with tremors or hand or wrist rigidity. The utensils may also return the joy of eating to someone frustrated by physical challenges, which may in turn spark an interest in healthier meals. Consider a set of weighted utensils, $10 to $50, that help reduce tremors. While eating or curved eating utensils, $20 to $30 for a set, which are twisted to adjust to a person's grip. A spiralizer turns vegetables such as zucchini or sweet potatoes into long, curly strands like noodles. Place a vegetable into the vise-like machine, which costs $35 or more, and turn a crank to produce veggie spirals, or place a handheld spiralizer, about $5, on top of a vegetable and turn it yourself, which takes a bit of dexterity and strength. It's a way to increase your vegetable intake and have fun with it. Use squash spirals in place of pasta, in soups, or in salads, or brush sweet potato spirals with olive oil and bake them in the oven. A frozen fruit dessert maker, $35 to $50, is a machine that turns frozen fruit into a treat with the consistency of ice cream. You drop the frozen fruit of your choice. It requires bananas. You can also add berries, mangoes, and any others into a chute. A blade inside the machine blends the fruit without liquefying it. Fruit is the only ingredient, so the dessert is free of added sugar and fat-laden cream, but it's not calorie-free. I would guess that half a cup of the dessert is about 100 calories. Using this gift requires portion control, especially if your gift recipient has diabetes or is pre-diabetic, or is watching his or her weight. Otherwise, it's fun and helpful dessert alternative for vegans and people who cannot digest lactose, a sugar, and ice cream and frozen yogurt. Two others, an air fryer and a single-serve blender. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time, and if you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138 and stay healthy. Thank you.